Taxation is theft.
Please, at least leave us alone in our living room.
My job is to find the truth.
Double the taxes.
I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Triple the taxes.
This is an IRS agent's dream.
If you think that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself.
Beautiful, lovely taxes.
Uh-oh. Sorry, but I don't do taxes.
Did you see the memo about this?
The government is a greedy piglet.
Just leave us alone.
Do you know what Ralph just said?
The roads.
You boys like Mexico?
I'm as bad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore.
I have with me today Stéphane Giard, and he is the founder of the French Libertarian Movement. And he's here to talk to us today about what's been going on in France. We've been seeing a lot of it on social media. We've seen a lot of protests. We've heard that it's about taxation and all sorts of things. But we have Stéphane today, who's in France, who's able to tell us a little bit more factually what's really going on and kind of what the political climate is like over there. So, Stéphane, welcome.
Thank you. I'm delighted. And it's unfortunate topic indeed, but if we can help shed light on the reality of the gilets jaunes or yellow vest, as you call them, of the other side of the bond, it would be useful, I believe, and I would be very happy to do so.
Awesome. So I guess a great place to start is you know, how did this start? Because there's, you know, we have people talking about, you know, some people say it was the gas tax, and some people are saying, no, it's just tyranny in general that was too much. What was kind of the motivation for all of this to get started?
I guess it's definitely initially a gas tax. I mean, I wouldn't go as far as saying it's our tea party of ours. That would be very, very... But that's something like this. You need to realize the gilets jaunes, the yellow vest, they are a symbol in themselves. Just bear in mind, for instance, that the gilets jaunes are something which is required for all of us to have in our cars for whatever safety reason. So we all have something like this, gilets jaunes in the cars. So everybody came up with this idea of demonstrating that they would be against initially the gas tax by putting on their gilets jaunes precisely to make the connection with the car. So it definitely started as a reaction to a very significant promise, if I can say, of increase of the taxes on gas, which, by the way, are very high already. I can give you numbers if you like. I'm not sure whether we are the highly taxed in the world. We probably are in top somewhere. So yes, I can confirm it definitely started like 5 weeks ago, I believe, or six maybe, as a tax reaction on the gases. And then because it was very unpredictable, coming from almost anyone, because anyone's taking the car, it evolved slowly and slowly. And every single week, because it's been always on Saturday since, and it's we're living it again today as I talk here in Paris and other places in France, every single week it evolved. And the riots, the requirements, the complaints, the protests evolved in their theme and in reality, and the people, by the way, joining it. And indeed, you're right, it turned out, evolved into a riot and a general kind of a fed-up movement, if I can say, which is really much what we are living right now. So it started as a gas complaint. Now it's a kind of more of a fed-up movement, if I can say, for many reasons as a result of what we are foregoing in France in general. We can talk about that.
Okay. So yeah, let's go back for a second, because I think that is actually an interesting topic. What's let's talk about the actual tax and how much of a tax this was, because there's I guess, you know, everyone's I always see in the United States pretty much California and every other state, there's like a dollar difference in the mm-hmm. gas, because mm-hmm. you know, everyone's paying gas tax, but California has like a dollar more on top right. of what everyone else is paying. So what kind of tax are we talking about before this new tax, and what did it look like after this tax?
Well, let me give you the number, and I checked before our call, so I'm pretty sure of the numbers. If we at least from a Paris perspective, I'm living in close by to Paris, so I guess it will be very significant. There's minor variations across the country, but like to get a small number. The price at the pump in France for standard gas, and there are different variations, okay, would be 1.45 typically euros per liter. So a liter doesn't mean anything for you, and euros do not mean anything for you. Before this taxation, and I will translate that, and before this taxation reform, already the price out of this 1.45, which I will convert for you, 60%, plus 1 or 2percentage, okay, but 60% of that before was already strict taxes. So only 40% of that 1.45 is the price of getting the oil and producing it and distributing it. Okay, so we're already talking about 60% taxation. 1.45 per liter for you means, with the dollar at 0.88 euro today and a gallon being 3.74 liters, I've made a conversion. It will be equivalent roughly of $6.2 per gallon.
Wow.
I don't know. Yes.
So, and this is before, yeah. So
before the new taxation system.
Before the tax. And so, yes. So in the US, to roughly compare that, I think right now it's about $2 per gallon. And then California is $3 per gallon.
Yeah. We're talking about more than the double of that, more than twice as much.
Right. And so now you already said, so about $6, you said about 60% of that is already taxes. So yep, we're already talking without the taxes, we're already down to less than three.
Less than three?
Than $3 per gallon.
Yes, we would be exactly coming back at that kind of level, which, in other words, it would be very similar to the kind of prices that you have. I mean, there would be slight differences, etc. But basically, we are twice as much as you are. To make it simple, they were about to add, I think, another 15% of new taxes on top of that. Mm-hmm. So we would be like 50%. I've made a computation, but we would be probably like two and a half more than what you already have in the US. So that's the kind of price and level at the end of the pump and tax level that we are foregoing. And the thing is, of course, when you reach that such an amount, people in France in many areas, this is not so true in Paris. In Paris, we have the transportation system, which is very sophisticated, like in New York, I guess, wherever. Mm-hmm. But when you live in the country, people go to work most of the time with their car. At least there are many areas where if you don't have a car, you simply cannot go working. And the more you tax the car and the gas, I mean, the more you're grieving basically the purchasing power of every individual. And obviously those that need to go to work and drive for earning money and make a living. So it just emerged. I would be totally unable to tell you how it came up. I follow that on the web, on the Facebook, etc. It probably emerged like 3 weeks before the whole movement. Took 3 weeks or something to organize itself and emerge spontaneously. But what basically created or impulsed the whole movement, I'm not sure. I mean, it's a very first time we have in France something which is so self-organized and coming from everybody, as opposed to the political parties, you know, the traditional structures. It's probably the first time, to my knowledge, that it is so, but I think it's a reflection of a too much reaction that most people have had on this very topic.
Interesting. So I want to talk for a little bit about some of the earlier things that we saw about this. So we saw that, for example, I think the very first strike that the people had against the government was they were dumping manure with a tractor over a fence. Was that was part of the same tax issue, right?
I believe so. Yes, I believe so.
And then I saw another video where some guys were in the yellow vests already, and they were building. They were putting down cement and bricks in front of, I guess, one of the government buildings.
Not enough to my taste, but yes.
is this? Oh, they didn't build the wall high enough.
Not enough of them did that. We'll come to that.
So what was I guess, you know, something like that. I, you know, when I see this, like, the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, what would happen if people tried to do this in the United States? And the first thing that comes to my mind is like, you'd have some little petty officer out there saying, oh, well, you can't have your tractor on the sidewalk. And then he'd start issuing citations. And then if you refuse to sign the citation, next thing you know, everybody's getting arrested for, you know, they'd come up with all kinds of charges about disturbing the peace and all this other stuff. And it seems like, you know, this is a demonstration of free speech. There was not, you know, it's not like they burned the building down. There wasn't like a like, you know, yeah, it's a lot of manure they're going to have to clean up. Yeah, it's some bricks they're going to have to clean up. But it wasn't like, you know, they didn't hurt anybody. And yet in the United States, that would result in, you know, people going to jail. The protests would be shut down. Everyone would be afraid. Nothing would happen of it. And you'd still have a lot of people sitting around saying, well, yeah, they should have just, you know, they should have just talked to their legislators and, you know, gone through that process. And it's crazy. Like, are they really that brainwashed in the United States that they kind of like believe that, or, you know, was there any fear of this out there?
I like the way you put it, because the brainwashed thing that you just mentioned, I tend to believe that we are in France brainwashed just the other way around. This is France, right? I mean, for good or bad, I believe rather for bad reasons, we have this tradition. I'm not too proud about that kind of tradition, but we have this tradition of protesting, and with the tractors, as you mentioned, we've had numerous strikes and demonstrations by the agriculture people coming along with their tractor and blocking the streets, blocking the road. So it's unfortunately we're getting out of like 40 years of protest over protest of that kind, meaning that when they started with this, it was tolerated. And the word, I use the word intentionally, it's been tolerated for decades. And I'm not saying it's right. That's just the environment where we're living here. So then when they started like this, it was just yet another of those protests by those people blocking the streets, blocking with the tractors, etc. And it's truly, although I personally don't believe it's the right way to approach a protest, we should not, as libertarian and freedom expression, we should not be blocking others. I believe that we should not be doing that. But at least it was the tradition. It was perceived at the beginning as completely benign and not too strong and not too meaningful to that respect. But then it evolved, and violence started to get into the game more and more. And the last 2 weeks, to last Saturdays, we had on the Champs-Élysées here in Paris, it's been highly violent, with fires, with broken windows, with the pavement on the street, which has been taken out for throwing stones to people, etc. So it's been really evolving into something which is absolutely abnormal. And to your point, there is another side, I guess. It's for me, from a libertarian point of view, there are different facets to this. That's what happened. Now, at the beginning, I was completely opposed to that movement, not so much about the tax issue. The tax issue is definitely something we should be opposed. You have a taxation is theft hat on, and you're totally right on that. The abuse, and I've not enough a stronger word for qualifying the abuse on taxes that we are foregoing in France, as we just computed. So that's one thing. But it doesn't mean that we people... Well, we should protest, definitely, but that doesn't mean that we should be blocking others. We should not be blocking the streets and having the others driving on the street not being able to pass through. I mean, I don't know whether you saw videos, but there were entire cities which were blocked, and we're not talking about small ones, very sizable cities which are completely blocked because of 10 people in the middle of the road. So that kind of behavior, I think, is totally unacceptable. But then there is the other dimension, which is the behavior of the state and of the police. To your very point, we have this tradition, very unfortunate in France, that the police would not make give way, basically. And they let the people block and they just don't intervene. So I'm not always in favor of the police in many respects, but in those circumstances, they should have made sure that everybody would be able to go through, period. That did not happen. And of course, the less they intervene, the more violence comes in. And so I believe that we've been over the weeks going through a process of very reasonably peaceful, not completely, but reasonably peaceful movement at the beginning to something which has completely evolved into completely turmoil and chaos. It seems it's getting quiet today and this week, which is good. But last week, it was completely hell. And I believe that in many respects, although I'm not totally opposed to the state, as you can guess, the absence of the police intervening at the right moment and to the right people is totally unacceptable, in my opinion. So it's a combination of those different facets. I don't know whether I'm clear enough, but that's the evolution, that which also I think is painful and has been making this movement, making the news everywhere.
I see kind of two separate issues, which is demonstration against the state and or violence against other people, and these are, you know, they're two completely separate acts that we should see as distinct separate acts. But what's interesting is so we see a lot of that in the U.S. Like there were some protests against police violence, the police shooting people and beating people up and unlawful arrests, and so what these people would do is they would get out and they would block streets. And, you know, the same sort of thing. And this seemed to be completely tolerated. Like, you know, the police would get out there. They wouldn't arrest anybody. They wouldn't clear them off the road. And at the same time, these people are they're blocking innocent people from getting to work, you know, getting to the hospital, all these other, you know, whatever. Their protests are harming people who are not the people who harmed them in the first place. You know, if they want to block streets, they should block the streets, the entrances to the police stations or the entrances to government buildings, because these are, you know, and it seems like what's happening is people just like they get so upset, they get so angry, and, you know, maybe it's fear, maybe it's, well, I don't want to attack the government because they've got, you know, they've got all these police and military, and what if they decide to start shooting back? That's not safe. Let me take out my anger on, you know, stores and neighborhoods and everything else, which is completely wrong. I agree with you, because these you're attacking people that are, they're not at fault for causing this. They also hate the tax. They didn't vote to create this tax. They aren't the police who are going out and assaulting your neighbors and your brothers and sisters. So I think that's a very important distinction that we have to make. But I think, like, people just, you know, sometimes when they get really angry and they want to protest and they see, you know, maybe somebody else starts, maybe someone else throws a rock at a building that's not a government building, and all of a sudden everyone else thinks, oh, that's okay, that's what we're doing, and then it just kind of snowballs and grows from there.
But if I may, I'm totally with you, quite obviously, and it's exactly the reaction I had initially, making this distinction between blocking others and blocking the right people, if I can, meaning the real
tyrants.
Yes, thank you. I was about to say enemies, but yes, tyrants. You also need to, I'm not sure whether that's clear for you, but you need to bear in mind that we are in France again, and in France, possibly more than other countries, certainly more than in the US, although in the US it's not been progressing too well recently. This is a very, very leftist country. The basic mentality for most people is leftist, and to the point, mostly to your point, is that they just don't have the idea that the cause of all of this is the state itself. So they have anger. They want to react. Initially, they reacted to the taxes, or therefore against the government. But then it started to blur, I would say, and they reacted to something. And in fact, to react to capitalists, to big bosses, to you name it. But they fail, usually with very few exceptions, they fail to realize that all this is caused by the government with a big G. and therefore to target the effort and their protest against the government. You started the conversation by saying you've seen a video of people building a brick wall against some government building. I saw this as well, and I personally pushed so that they would be acting to that direction. If they had been blocking more government building, I would be delighted, and it would not be harming any people on the street. But if honestly they fail to realize that, they go on the street like they need to be heard. Someone is going to hear them. Is it gone or whatever? No, it's going to be the government. But if you target the government, go to the government. We have in Paris a famous building, which is probably the equivalent of the Pentagon with you. The name is Bercy. Bercy is the building where the Ministry of Finance is set up. It's a very famous building. And when in French you talk about Bercy, you mean basically the tax people. Okay, that's where they should have been heading. Go to Bercy, lock Bercy, make your complaint against Bercy. These are the guys who created those taxes. That would have been meaningful. But none of them did that. They went to Champs-Élysées, where you have the tourists and the boutiques and the business. They went to the country, but in completely crazy areas, which have nothing to do with the government. But all this, I believe, is related to the fact that you talk to any French people, most of them, educated or not educated, they will completely fail to realize the role of government in all this.
Wow, that's really interesting.
A lot more than in the US. I mean, sorry to, in the US, the libertarian movement is still a minority, but many, many people would be naturally sensitive to the role of government, anti-government, or complaining about government. That would be fairly usual, not a majority, but it's reasonably common, I would say. And I've been in the US for some time. So I believe that's really striking for me to see how much there is a difference between what I saw in the US and what I'm seeing in France. Of course, there are people. I mean, I'm not the only libertarian in France, hopefully, but we are very few. And a normal conversation, as soon as you start to imply that possibly the government might be the reason of everything we are foregoing, you're basically looked at like, who are you? I mean, do you realize what you're saying? That would be reality here. So, of course, all those people protesting, they just completely fail their target because they don't even know what their target really is.
Now, is that, I see, you know, I know that look. I get that look a lot in the United States. It seems like sometimes when you start to get that look, the person that you're talking to is almost personally offended because they have some sort of like really personal, almost religious relationship with the government. Is that kind of the case out there?
Yeah, that would be. Yeah, I would see this very commonly here, too. There is this common, you know, for libertarian, with this common belief that, you know, who would be building the road? That famous, that here it would be more social security, and you have that as well. But as soon as you start attacking government, then, okay, but then who is going to do the healthcare, the social security, the retirement funds, etc.? It comes immediately, and any kind of level, class, everyone would be reacting like that. Everyone.
So, and that's interesting because you do, I mean, there's definitely that connection, you know, the more, you know, the more people who are really attached to the idea of government has to be here and it has to, like, we can't survive without it, are those who, you know, they receive some sort of benefit from government, whether it's healthcare, mm-hmm. or social security, food stamps, mm-hmm. welfare, mm-hmm. Housing, you know, anything. It's like the government comes along, they destroy the housing market, they make rent extremely expensive, and then they say, oh, but we'll help you if you can't afford it, we'll help you pay for
typical,
it.
Typical, yes. Typical.
Is there, I guess, what percentage of people, like, what's the environment like out there? Like, is everybody on some sort of government program? Are government hospitals the only hospitals? Like, what's...
Very good question. I would be totally unable to give you a figure here. That's a very good question. But I fail to have numbers, honestly. There's a large majority who probably are going to be directly or indirectly benefiting from somehow. I mean, through subsidies, through taxes, evasions. I'm not sure about the word in English, I'm afraid, but you know, special regimes where you would be tax free for some on some topics.
Tax havens, I guess, or exemptions.
More exemptions. Yes, thank you. There are many, many such cases, but even so, those would be obvious to your very point. But the worst thing is that even people with good jobs, let's say, educated, working in banks, in finance, in industries, wherever, most, even the highest level, and my job leads me to having contact with such people on a regular basis. Even those, when you start going on the topic, let's say, the topic of the free market, for example, of less monopoly, less intervention of government in any economic area, they would look at you in a doubtful way. What do you mean? Of course you don't mean that the free market may be possibly be working. Even educated people would be reacting like this. So it's my point being, and to your question, is it doesn't need to be people having a direct vested interest, I would say, in government to be behaving or reacting like this. Even people like entrepreneurs would be typically also thinking this way. Most of them.
They just think the whole thing would just kind of fall apart. They wouldn't have electricity and roads and internet and.
But even more, I mean, the whole economic system, and just the belief that on anything, the market might be potentially being a solution, or just simply work if you let it work. Even people in banks, I tell you, even the people where we would be thinking they have been educated to economy, coming from high schools or business schools, MBAs, etc., even those people would still be very doubtful about the concept of freedom, non-intervention, the need for having government stepping in. It exists. Hopefully there are some of them, but it's a very real minority, absolutely minority. So that's also why, and in the news, I mean, and I guess it's the same for you in the US, there is a famous channel, probably the CNN of yours, the name is BFM TV, and BFM stands for Business, Finance, Media, okay? Mm-hmm. So it's the one channel in France, pretty common, which is supposed to be the most economically savvy of all the medias, okay? So anyone watching that would be someone caring about the market, the business, etc. But when you look at what the journalists are telling about the economic situation, what should be done about the gilets jaunes, etc., the minimum wage, for instance, even those people would say that the minimum wage has a positive impact on unemployment. The other round. The minimum wage is not a cause of unemployment, which of course we know to be wrong. So when you have even those journalists supposed to be the economic savvy making such statements, I let you imagine the degree of, I'm not sure if it's English, but unsavviness. You get what I mean. I mean, ignorance, yeah. Basically, on everything of that nature. So, well, yeah, people will believe that, yes, it's normal to have taxes, because taxes are basically the way we're going to get from government, and government is the normal way of having everything social within the country. There's simply no other way. So that's really where we are in France here. That's really where we are.
So, yeah, I mean, I hear a lot of similarities. What do you think? I mean, are you hopeful that, you know, people will start to embrace the free market at some point, or... or do you have a plan or a strategy? Are you helping to spread the word?
As libertarian, you mean? Well, if you're not hopeful, what do? You go hanging yourself? I mean, I guess, yeah. Yes, you need to be hopeful. As a libertarian, and I'm active in that area, I'm betting on one thing, and it's that's what I'm trying to do on a regular basis. Any kind of education, information, explanation, trying to revert the wave of miseducation, I would say, that most people have had over the years and through the education system. So it's I believe that should everybody do this. I mean, we're not going to change this in a snap, but any movement which will eventually re-educate people, to make it simple, even if it's a minority of them, is positive, and it's basically what I'm trying to do. I don't believe this will be enough in any visible future, maybe one generation, maybe two generations, to really dramatically have the country come back to the rails and to where it should be. But it may inflict. I'm also betting some to something else, which is I see the country, and I'm not the only one, I see the country crumbling down possibly within, I don't know, decade, generation. What I'm hoping for is that at least there will be a minority of educated people and full of hope people that would be secede somehow. And at least that pocket of people would be enough, possibly in Paris, possibly somewhere else, to resume some activity and then pull everybody out after the resuming has been happening. I'm not sure whether I'm clear. But I'm more hoping, if you like, instead of hoping that the country as a whole would be inflicting positively towards capitalism and free market, etc., which I really don't believe is going to happen overnight, I'm betting a lot more on at least a pocket, a minority, but significant minority, possibly minorities here and there of secession, secedes, whichever way, you know, pockets of people, which them on the country will, at their level, revert the situation, resume, and then pull the rest with them. I would not be surprised that because the state is crumbling down, and we see this with the Gilets Jaunes, I mean, the police is simply not at the level of catching up the violence that we need to have. I'm betting in a way that, I mean, I don't know, let's consider. Imagine we have 100 cities in France, and the cities, out of the 100 cities, 50 try to secede and have riots and try to get out of the regime and build something of their own and try to emerge of something. Like in the US you had like 2 centuries ago. And then pull the rest of the country and go back to the system, to where we should be. That's more what I'm sensing and betting on. I'm not sure whether I'm completely clear, and I'm happy to discuss, but that's more what I believe into and I'm pushing. Changing the country overall, the 50 or 65 million people that we are, all educated from the very beginning to leftist, if not Marxist thinking, this is not going to be changed overnight. Simply impossible.
Interesting. And yeah, I see, you know, in the US, there's a lot of what I find really interesting is even people, you know, like now people are, they're upset about this tax enough to protest and riot. In the US, like a majority of the people are, they're very upset. They're dissatisfied with the politicians that they have. But at the same time, it's always, and I personally, I think it's, you know, well, it's not the guy I elected. It's the 99 other guys. It's everybody else. My guy's okay. Everyone else sucks.
Of course.
And so, you know, so they're dissatisfied with the people who are running government, but they think, you know, oh, well, we'll just elect different people and
yeah,
it'll,
yeah, that's the
we'll
big
fix
one,
some little
yeah.
problems. Is that kind of the same?
Yes,
it sounds like.
But it's maybe it's I don't want to sound negative here, but it's even worse than that. Meaning that you know, we have different shades of libertarian, and I'm sure you have that in the US. I mean, from what I see, there are people like influenced by the Cato Institute, or others by Mises Institute. I mean, there are different shades of libertarian, let's say. And we have this as well. I mean, many of liberty free advocates, let's say, not to use libertarian as a word, would still be favorable or would believe that the solution ultimately is in the ballot, and would go for their favorite candidate, provided it's he has a yellow shirt like you have. And he colors himself in yellow, and he has some kind of freedom kind of speech, free market kind of speech, and then go get a ballot, and everybody will be happy, and it will change anything. I'm more a kind of guy who is very doubtful about this, to be honest with you, be it in the U.S. or certainly here in France. I think the problem that we have, you and us maybe more, you know, but even you, I mean, when you look at the US over the 200 something years, it's been slowly but really decaying, I would say, from a freedom standpoint, I believe, unfortunately. So my point is to say, and I'm not the only one saying this, it's democracy itself, which is an issue. Because democracy, okay, ballot is nice, but the ballot always is, the result comes from the majority. And when the majority is not aware of the rule of freedom, doesn't understand basically the free market, not saying they're idiots, it's just a problem of mindset. It's not a problem of intelligence, just mindset. When people just don't see it, don't understand, they're obviously going to vote in favor of the non-freedom orientation. And ultimately, it's always going to be, or very likely to be, that it's the candidate of the, yeah, what we call the populist, I guess, the one promising the most, not the one promising freedom, which is going to be elected, and over and over and over. And the more you go, the more freedom gets eroded, and that's what I'm seeing in the US and what we're seeing in France. France is probably going even faster than in the US, but what would be the US if you had that Clinton elected? That same thing, I guess.
Yeah.
So all this to say that, yeah, I don't believe the solution is in ballot. I don't really don't believe that.
There's a quote that I'm trying to find right now that pretty much, you know, just like what you just said, you know, the democracy begins to fail when people learn that they can vote, vote money out of the treasury.
Very true.
Or in this case, you know, vote away other people's freedoms. And you're absolutely right. It's when you have this majority rule, you no longer have anyone protecting a minority, because, you know, a minority, you want to have your system of, you know, some sort of government regulating medicine, maybe. Okay, fine. You want that. But then there are a minority who don't want that, and you're taking away their freedom to have that.
Exactly.
And so, but, you know, to the people who are, you know, who are in that system and they think it's so much better, well, who cares about them? Like, who cares that they're losing that freedom? Because ultimately what they're getting is better anyway. We decided, we voted.
That's exactly the issue. Exactly. And we've been, sorry to interrupt, but we've had that in a degree after degree. I mean, of course, democracy in the 19th century was not what it is now, and the political themes were not what they are now. But layer after layer, grade after grade, shade of democracy after shade of democracy, we're shifting every single country,
yeah,
more quickly or less quickly. France is probably quicker than others, unfortunately, but it's true everywhere that I'm looking at. As soon as you set democracy as the preferred system, it shifts, it drifts away towards more state, more leftism, whatever we call by that, but more state to make it simple. And it's inherent, I believe, to the very idea of democracy, because the majority is bound to be less educated. That's just a reality. I mean, I'm not being dismissive. It's just a reality. Sometimes there are more. Fine, if you take Switzerland, it's a democracy. Probably the average level and the tradition is such that it's drifting only slowly than others, but even in Switzerland it's drifting, and we see this. Switzerland is probably more leftist than it used to be 50 years ago, so we see this everywhere. So for me, the real enemy at the end of the day of freedom is democracy, and which is surprising to many people, because we coming on an age, out of an age where democracy was erected as the one symbol, the true system of freedom, and democracy should be preserved ultimately as the only one system that would preserve freedom. This is wrong. And the Gilets Jaunes in France is a good demonstration. I mean, people go in the street, protest, etc. Fair enough. Ultimately, they will only influence the governments towards a point which is not going towards the more freedom, more market freedom, etc. They're only going to get something on purely reactive from the government, which by definition is going to be only trying to please them and not being rational. So yeah, I think that's something we completely forget, and which is really undermining the whole political system in the West, I believe.
Interesting. So I have an interesting personal question for you. How did you come out of all of this?
That's a good question. You mean from the Gilets Jaunes or from the overall?
Well, how did you not turn out like the others?
I'm not sure what you mean. Seriously, I'm not sure what you mean like the others. Like, you mean being a libertarian?
Yeah. What? How did you become libertarian? How did you escape the system and not become you know brainwashed like everybody else? And
That's a long story, I guess. I guess first of all, I've been lucky enough. Although I'm French and French educated from French parents and culture and everything, circumstances are so that I grew up out of France in my youth. So I did not go to the French education system. So I was not brainwashed by the French education system in my youth. Thanks God. That's one. But then I came to France for my college years and then for my initial professional years. And to be completely honest with you, during those years, I was like kind of midway. I've always been a kind of anarchic, not really knowingly or not completely aware of being an anarchic kind of guy and more kind of rightist in a way, but only vaguely pro-free market, but really only vaguely. And then in my professional career, there came a point where I was completely in an environment with all my colleagues being educated on economics and things like that. I'm an engineer by background. So I thought, if I want to interact with those people better, I probably need to have some basics about economics. And it was already the time of the internet, and I had no intention of going to school only for this. So I just browsed the internet. Yeah, I just browsed the internet. And I started to find, you know, all those, all the theories. I mean, Keynesians, you name it, you have an idea. But I have strong education in math. And when I started to dive into those and saw the equation, etc., I was like, yeah, I understand the equation, but I just don't understand the assumptions behind the equations. Like, where is my free will in the education, in the equation? So I was like, it doesn't work for me. There's something wrong here. So I continued and then continued until I found something which would be meaningful to me. And something like 11 years ago or something, by pure chance, I discovered the Mises Institute and the Austrian theory of economics. And it just happened to me like, you know, you have a jigsaw and then all the pieces come together. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened to me. I was like, yes, that I understand. That makes sense. And then basically from the Austrian economics theory, I pulled the rope and everything came too quickly. And then that's how I came to become libertarian. And then because I have children and I see the young generation, I thought there's not much I can do, but there's probably something I can do, which is at least try to share my understanding and have some activity in terms of teaching, sharing, explaining to the others, and certainly to the youngsters. So that was my drive, and it still is my drive, basically, to try at least to minimize the impact of the environment and try to have some minimum but concrete positive influence on my coming young generation. That's my drive.
Wow, that's awesome. That's an awesome story, and it's really interesting that, I mean, I went to school in the U.S., but I wasn't paying attention to most of it because it was just so boring for me. but it's really interesting that, you know, it's almost like we kind of bypass the brainwashing by not paying attention or by not going to the right schools. And I think that's a really interesting point to it because, yeah, I mean, you know, they do teach so much of that. Like, I remember one of the things, I always wanted to be an entrepreneur from a very young age. And, you know, one of the things that they would always teach us in school from, you know, I think probably from middle school up was, you go to school, you go to high school, you go to college, you go to you get your job, and you know, depending on how far you get in college is going to depend how much money you make, and that was the only option. There was nobody even spoke the words starting your own business, because it was like, no, we're and what's interesting is I saw there was a guy, I can't think of his name right now, but he wrote a book called Weapons of Mass Instruction, and it's he was, you know, he grew up in the education system, and he had a really good analogy of it, but he basically you know, analyzed the education system, and in the early 1900s there was a federal program called the Department of Education that was created that would basically assimilate the entire country's educational system. And it was designed by owners of massive industries to basically condition us to be factory workers. So now we have this thing. Ever since I grew up, it was always, you hear the bell, you go to class, you hear the bell, you go to lunch, you hear the bell, you go back to class, and which is exactly, you know, the factory system. And so they've been kind of training us to be conditioned into that. And I think that alone is like really fascinating.
I think it is true in many, sorry to interrupt, but I think it is true. There are variations of it. In the US, probably what you're saying is true because you're still a country, or were a country, which was still pro entrepreneur anyway. So that's meaningful. In France, you need to know that we are leftist, by education. After the Second World War, 1945, there was a negotiation which was done by the president of the time, de Gaulle, with the communist of the time, and in particular regarding the education system. And basically, the negotiation was that they would have basically the levers to drive the education system. He gave that to the communist. And the education system, social security as well, and others, have been driven and organized since 1945 with layers after layers, not completely like this, but layers after layers by the left. So finding in the education system a teacher that would not be himself. But how can I say that? Even honestly, being a leftist, they really believe, they are trained to believe that it is a good thing, a truly truthful, positive thing to educate children to leftist-like kind of thinking, because they've been trained like that themselves. And this is the case, and it's been gradedly imposed on us since 1945, 70 years. So, yeah, you can imagine what it means. And it's really the kind of country that we are in. So, yeah, we brainwashed from the very young age. Even, I mean, to be honest, my children grown up, they've been partly through the system. And it is difficult sometimes to convince them of how pervasive those ideas have been in influencing their own lives. Even if from someone like me talking to them, if you see what I mean. So that's the degree of influence and penetration of those ideas in the average people, and to the Gilets Jaunes in particular. Quite absolutely, this is what we are here today. Totally.
Wow, that's fascinating.
I think it would not be totally unfair to say that France is probably the next communist country after, when you, of course, you think about China, Cuba is the next one, Venezuela is the next one. Okay, those are almost caricatures of the whole system being left from the post-Second World, as we know. Okay, when you think about communists, we think about those countries. But there are more insidious countries, and I think France is probably the hidden communist country, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, so it's communist, but very subtle, or
yes.
Very
hidden. Yeah, yeah. You claim you're open market, you're liberal, whatever that means, etc.
Right.
But in reality, all the politics, all the thought system is pretty much Marxist. Pretty much.
Wow.
Sorry for being talkative here.
No, no, yeah. That's that's all great information. Yeah, wow. So, I guess what's where do you take it from here? Are you actively working with anything to build your movement, or how?
What's the agenda? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, to be honest with you, I've been the founder of the libertarian movement that was, what, 5-6 years ago in France. And we've been through a number of actions, etc. But you also, another one to cover from me a couple of years ago. And, you know, we also need to have professional careers as well. So I kind of step back a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm still active on the internet in many respects, but not as I used to be some years ago. Doesn't mean that I'm not doing anything, etc. But the movement is also trying to change a little bit in its position. If you look on the net, you will find that a part of it has evolved into a libertarian party, pretty much aligned with what you have in the US, the LPD in many respects. But there's also another branch which I'm more active with, which is trying to influence more through educations, books, videos, speeches, conferences, publishing, etc. Trying to go on that route of trying to touch more people, influence more people through education, information, and that kind of things. Maybe it's going to succeed, maybe it's going to less succeed, but I believe that's the way onwards for the long term. The other direction we're trying to push as well, which I mentioned, is influence and push forward the idea of secession. Precisely for two reasons. First of all, to push the concept itself. If you want to have secession to be successful at some point, you need to have enough people aware of the idea and willing to act accordingly. But beyond that, because I'm foreseeing, France has coming down, maybe in a generation, maybe less than that. If we don't push the idea and we don't try to have hubs, I would say, or any kind of loose organization, then it's not going to happen. And when it's going to be the right moment, then we're not going to be able to seize it. So that's the kind of push I'm making, kind of underground, if you like, and it's still very basic. But that's the two main directions I'm pushing, at least as for myself, over the last 2-3 years, I would say. So, yeah, to short, libertarian in France is still pretty much marginal. There is a party trying its venture, going to the route on elections. They are preparing a campaign for the European elections as we speak right now, for instance. And there is the other one, which is which I'm trying to not to lead, but certainly to be active within. Which is on education, information, and preparing possibly secessions, or maybe secessions, if I should believe.
All right. So I've got two more questions for you. I just want to. So when you say secession, I know earlier you talked about it. Sounded like cities seceding from the French government. What about the European Union? Do you think that's part of?
Good question.
Would that be, I guess, first, or how would that work?
Good question. Excellent question. Answer is I don't know. It may depend. To your point, and I guess with your question, there is a question of Brexit and Frexit. Very briefly, I'm of course in favor of Brexit. Anything that will break down the European Union, not as a union of people, not as an open trade market, of course not. Free market is fine. But the problem is the European Union has become a huge bureaucracy, probably, relatively speaking, probably heavier than the federal government is in the US, with respect to size of people, populations, and country. So we're very much living in the USSR, I would say, of Europe, to that respect. So anything breaking down this European bureaucracy, in my opinion, is positive. Brexit is, possibly a Frexit would be as well. But to your point, secession, I don't know. It could happen anyway. What I'm sensing, what I'm betting is France, historically wise, is made of several regions, Brittany, Normandy, Corsica, Provence, and others. You could fancy, for example, that first of all, Brittany decides that they want to live their life by themselves and just get out. Whether it's related to Frexit or not, who cares in a way? I mean, at the end of the day, the smaller the countries and the more remote from the central government, the better. So it will happen in, there will be numerous scenarios. Maybe it will be just a couple of cities trying their chance. Others will be regions. I don't know. Anything, my point is, and what I'm pushing is, anything going to the direction of cutting the current country into smaller pieces and therefore cutting the government into smaller pieces would be positive.
Interesting. And that's always, I always think that this is a really interesting perspective to show people, especially because, you know, like we talked about, so many people want some form of government. If we can at least say, okay, well, you can have government, let's just chop it up into smaller pieces so that, you know, even in the U.S., it's, you know, the same as in France. As you said, there are people out in the country, there are people in the city, and they live their lives in different ways. We don't need one single bureaucracy making sure that everyone lives the same way.
Do we even need a bureaucracy? What would need a bureaucracy for? I mean, when you wake up in the morning, you make your coffee or tea or whatever, do you think about the government for your coffee? Of course not. I mean, you go to your bakery. I'm always taking the example of the bakery. I'm going to the bakery, get my bread, whatever. Do I call the government for my bread? Of course not. So I'm happy discussing some marginal things, police, etc. But even that would be perfectly arguable. But set that aside. For most of what we do in real life, we don't call out to the government. We manage ourselves. We go see entrepreneurs. We become entrepreneurs ourselves for providing such services. Why do we need a government for? I mean, I'm not sure. I certainly don't dream of a government every single moment. And absolutely. So, and that's one thing. And the second thing is, the concept of the government is in no way related with the size of the country. A quarter, a block in New York could have a government if they like to. And it could be a different government from the next block. I mean, Harlem could have a government which is completely different from Queens. Who cares?
Absolutely. All right, so my final question for you is, for anybody who's listening, who wants to follow what you're doing or get any more information, do you have any websites that you could direct them to, Facebook pages?
Yes, I'm afraid it's only going to be marginally in English, although we do have publication in English. But if you go on, probably the most active would be on Facebook, for different reasons. We've opted for being more active on Facebook than anything else. And I can give you a link further, but probably the most active would be what in French is La Page des Libertariens, which literally means the page of the libertarians, okay? And I think you yourself, I think you're a new subscriber. I've seen your name.
Yeah. I think that's how I found you, through that page.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. So you know the page. That probably is the most active one that you'll be able to find. Another one would be the website this time of the Libertarian Party. And that would be pretty simple. I think it's www.party with an I instead of Y for you. Libertarian with an E instead of A. .fr, so that should be easy to find as well. Okay. I'm not aware of, I mean, there are probably tons of small activist libertarian kind of sites in France or French speaking countries, but I'm not sure they would be as active as those two.
Okay, awesome. Well, we'll put links to those pages in here, and it's the internet, so you know, everything's translatable now, especially on Facebook. There's usually a button.
I was impressed by your French, by the way. Yes,
that was Google. but awesome. Okay, great. So It was great having you on the show. I think we got a lot of really great information and insight, and it's good to see what you're doing out there. It's good to see that there are people who think like us all over the world, and helping to spread this information so things don't keep going as they are. And it's been really great talking with you, and hopefully we'll have you on again soon. And taxation is theft.
It is theft, definitely. And the Gilets Jaunes were right at the beginning. Absolutely. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. I'll see you soon.
Cheers.
Taxation is theft.
Please, at least leave us alone in our living room.
My job is to find the truth.
Double the taxes.
I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Triple the taxes.
This is an IRS agent's dream.
If you think that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself.
Beautiful, lovely taxes.
Sorry, but I don't do taxes.
Did you see the memo about this?
The government is a greedy piglet.
Just leave us alone.
Do you know what Ralph just said?
The roads.
You boys like Mexico?
I'm as bad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore.